Blog Talk Radio.
The call to post means it's time for Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We're talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from Virginia, around the Mid-Atlantic, and across the country. Off to the Races is powered by the Racing Biz, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Find them at www.theracingbiz.com. Now here's your host with Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. Hello, everybody. Happy Saturday to you. Welcome to Off to the Races. My name's Frank Vespian. For the next 60-ish minutes, we're going to be talking thoroughbred racing and breeding across the Mid-Atlantic and around the country. Thanks for spending a little bit of your Saturday morning with us. Saturday, the 4th of December. That means, among other things, the holiday season is nigh upon us. In fact, we were out buying Christmas trees last night, so now we're really getting serious here on this whole holiday thing. Like I said, we're going to be talking thoroughbred racing and breeding for the next hour or so here. Today's show, as always, powered by the Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Check them out online. They got socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatnot, free mobile app for your Apple and Android devices, plenty of ways to keep up to date with the latest racing and breeding news from the Mid-Atlantic and everywhere, including today. We're going to be talking Cigar Mile coming up at Aqueduct, Grade 1 event later on this afternoon. Has a Mid-Atlantic connection, of course. Cigar Mile, named for the great New York-based cigar, who was actually perhaps the greatest Maryland bred of all. Earned over $10 million, which was a record, won 16 consecutive races, won the Breeders' Cup Classic, won the inaugural Dubai World Cup, tons of other important races, trained by Belmont. He was among the inaugural inductees into the Maryland Thoroughbred Hall of Fame and, of course, also resides in the National Racing Hall of Fame. So Cigar Mile later on today. Plus, there is a $729,000 pick six carryover, $1 pick six at the Big A. It is not a jackpot wager. It is a standard wager. So possibility of hitting that, which would make your Christmas very merry indeed. There are four graded stakes on tap at the Big A today, including the, as I said, the Cigar Mile, also two races for two-year-olds and a filly race, the Gopher Juan. So lots of racing action, plus it's opening weekend at Oaklawn Park, plus it's Claiming Crown at Gulfstream Park as the championship meet gets underway in sunny South Florida. So lots of things going on. Let's do a little bit of news here before we bring in our special guest villains today. Last Saturday concluded the stakes schedule for 2021 at Charlestown Races. That concluded with the $75,000 West Virginia Futurity for two-year-old West Virginia breds. A number of the heavy hitters, or the horses that won, like on Breeders' Classics night, they did not participate. That left it wide open for Jungle Beast.
Here's Jungle Beast, looming large, racing into the turn, and Jungle Beast with a sweeping move up to take command. Windsor's Play tries to keep up there in second. Then comes My Juba, in between horses with Base Castle to the outside. A gap back to Hesica and Spectaculo. Jungle Beast not home yet. Here's My Juba to the attack. Base Castle outside and Windsor's Play in behind the leader's heels. It's still Jungle Beast in front, but it's a tenuous lead. The filly My Juba taking a run at him, but Jungle Beast has turned her away. Jungle Beast draws away.
How much fun did Paul Espinosa have saying Jungle Beast? A lot is the answer. Antonio Lopez was up on Jungle Beast. Jungle Beast powered home to a four-length victory as the 2-5 post-time favorite in the West Virginia Futurity. Jungle Beast is a gelding by Golden Years. He's a homebred for O'Sullivan Farms, LLC, trained by top local conditioner Javier Contreras. Jungle Beast now been in the money all four of his career starts. He's got two wins, earnings of more than 77. You know what? I watched Let It Ride the other day on Thanksgiving Day, and the way Richard Dreyfuss says it, although he's saying 69, but we'll go with $77,000 career earnings for Jungle Beast. One other horse to put on your stable mail from that race, Late in the Game. Late in the Game came flying late. Really the only horse other than the winner to be running at the end. He closed from seventh with a furlong to go to finish second. So keep an eye on Late in the Game. Might be a horse to watch a little bit as things go forward. Also, last Saturday, Laurel Park hosted three stakes. That was a roster that included Pick and Time winning the City of Laurel.
To the stretch with Pick and Time, Justin Trent from 3-2 zone. Pick and Time widens now. Pick and Time, one furlong left to go. He's my honey badger, clear sailing on the far outside. Tries to roll home late. It is Pick and Time. He's my honey badger, closing on the outside, but time is running out. Pick and Time. Pick and Time to win a length and a half.
Under jockey Michael Sanchez, Pick and Time stalked the pace three wide, took command, leaving the quarter pole, went on to win by a length and change. Pretty good month or so for Michael Sanchez. He won the Maryland Million Classic with Prendimi. He wins this race with Pick 'n Time, and he also won the Fall Highweight at Aqueduct, the Grade 3 race, his second career grade at stakes. Got a little article on Michael Sanchez on theracingbiz.com, so you may want to check that out. He's spreading his wings a little bit this year and having a good season. So anyway, for Pick 'n Time, fifth career victory. His career also includes a win in the Grade 3 Nashua last fall. He's earned over $434,000 in his career. Pick and Time's a New Jersey bred. Not a ton of those anymore. A homebred for John Bauer's Roseland Farm Stable. Pick and Time is trained by Kelly Breen. Other Saturday stakes winners at Laurel Park last weekend included Belle of the North, who won the Safely Kept. And the old veteran Cordmaker, the six-year-old, won the Richard W. Small for his seventh career stakes win, trained by Rodney Jenkins. One last thing I want to touch on before we get to more frivolous activities. Because of a recent spate of fatalities, Laurel Park has canceled racing this current weekend, the weekend that we're in right now, while experts, including former longtime Maryland Jockey Club track superintendent John Passero, assess the problems and, we hope, fix them. The problems are serious. Seven horses suffered fatal fractures between November 6th and November 28th, and an eighth died after collapsing on the racetrack. So the response needs to be equal to the challenge. Let's hope it is. Let's hope that the stakeholders are able to work collaboratively and the Racing Commission asserts its authority here to ensure that when racing resumes, it is over a racetrack that is as safe as it can be made to be. All right, that's it for news. On to more frivolous matters. I believe we have Derby Bill in the wings waiting to join us, and we therefore must welcome him in thusly. Mr. Watson.
Yes, sir. That sounds like the official Caesars Sportsbook Xmas Parade down here introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, I who is more deserving of it than you?
Yeah, I just can't believe I'm not afloat or on afloat today in the the parade festivities would be complete if they had me tossing things from a float today.
Maybe you'll be afloat later on in the Pick Six at Aqueduct.
Yeah, I will accommodate Aqueduct today with a root beer float. You know, that's the only float I'm on today.
Well, you know, we gotta all do what we can. Derby Bill Watson is the former on-air handicapper for Colonial Downs and longtime Richmond wagering personality. you can intermittently see his things in the Times Dispatch, and of course always here on Off to the Races. So Derby Bill, what's news in the Derby Bill household?
Yes, the I can make the fall high weight. I've been won that before at Wegmans and Kroger and Safeway in my past and Food Lion. I was a fall high weight stakes champion, so you can add that to my non-illustrious resume.
We find it illustrious.
We had what was it, Belle of the North last week here on the radio show. We even me and Nick Hahn concurred on that horse, and that
Did you guys both have Belle of the North?
Oh boy, we had 10-1 on the show last week. I'm not sure what he went off at, but it certainly helped. Certainly helped for Mother Derby's 84th birthday gift. Thank you.
Yeah, good job. No, that's some good picking. Belle of the North won the Safely Kept. She was 9-1, a little over 9-1 at post time. So
9-1. That's sweet. I like to get a few of them today because there's some other holiday coming up in a couple weeks. And
this is one you need money for.
Yeah, this one has cost me in the past. more than losing a trifecta by a nose.
You know, I got to say, last year I was super inspired. I knew exactly what I wanted to get my wife. I had it all arranged. This year, I'm clueless. I got nothing. I'm just floundering.
No, well, you do what I do and offered a trip to the Key West and a vacation trip to the Key West. Unfortunately, it included 4 days at Gulfstream Park in my gift.
Yeah. Who was that a gift for exactly?
Exactly. That's how you have to, we went to the Kentucky Derby 1 year and, I bought a hat and ended up going to a baseball game in Milwaukee and the four breweries and Notre Dame and then the Kentucky Derby in Chicago, all tied into one gift. Yeah,
I like these gifts. I think you're onto something here.
Oh yeah, you definitely have to tie. If you tie into a gift and it makes both people happy, that's the key.
That is the key. No question about that.
It's the holiday holiday gift exacta.
I like it. I like the whole philosophy, frankly. I think it's good stuff. So Belle of the North, you guys give out Belle of the North last week. That was a good one. I talked to Jose Corrales. Go ahead.
Vespi had one. Mr. Vespi had one. I address you as Mr. when you have a big winner. You had one in one of the other stakes that day last week that was paid like $13, I believe.
Did I? Good for me.
Yeah, we definitely gobbled up Laurel before the incidents have happened to gobble it up this weekend.
Yeah,
it's a shame, too, because, 65 degrees today, and we've got Delaware Park, Laurel, and Colonial Downs dark.
Yep, and Monmouth while we're at it. Yeah, no, a lot of not racing happening today on a day that would be good for it.
Yeah, they used to call them Indian Spring type days, and I don't know if you can say that anymore, but yeah.
Well, you're Derby Bill, so you do say it regardless of whether you can or not.
Well, they ban everything usually that I say, my football teams, my college nickname. I mean, they ban just about everything I used.
You went to Elon, didn't you?
The Fighting Christians. Oops.
Yeah,
say that no more.
Wait, they're the Phoenix now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think we were one of the first ones to in the name changing business of selling new paraphernalia. It's another way to sell new paraphernalia, also the bottom line.
Oh, for sure. I was surprised that the former Redskins, held on to their name as long as they could because it'll be a merchandising bonanza when they settle on a new name.
I have a Santa in full Redskin garb out next to the Christmas tree, and it ain't going nowhere. Collectibles items or not. It's almost as valuable as a Ferris Allen bobblehead.
Well, not many things are as valuable as a Ferris Allen bobblehead.
No, that is cherished. That is, on my display case, cherished. And actually dusted occasionally.
Do you also have the Sheldon Russell garden gnome?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had that. I can't find that one. No, that one's hard to find. That one moves around, I think.
It's possessed.
Kind of slick. That guy's always been kind of slick. On the horses, off the horses, everywhere.
Yeah, injured now.
Yeah, yeah, his horses are winning, and I know it's ticking him off.
Yeah, no, it's got to be tough to sit on the sidelines, although since his wife's the trainer, that at least helps the bottom line to get those wins.
Yeah, supposedly 50-50 split. That was the agreement I signed 40 years ago. When I needed a second income.
Yeah. Does your wife want to renegotiate that now?
Oh, 100 times.
All right, Bill. So, we are Nickless at the moment, and I have not heard from one Nick Hahn. So perhaps you and I should start capping, and if Nick manages to join us, Nick manages to join us. Does that make sense?
It's hard to cap without St. Nicholas this time of year, but we will go on. There's Aqueduct has a beautiful slate, and they still run on the turf up there. And then you have Gulfstream's Crowns, down in Gulfstream. And Oaklawn opened up with, and today they have 50-cent corned beef sandwiches, so I'm all fired up for that, just seeing people eat them.
Yeah, well, maybe you ought to go out to the deli and get yourself a corned beef sandwich in solidarity.
Yeah, we have a nice Boucher's deli here in the city that has a humongous corned beef sandwich. So that is a proper toast to Oaklawn opening. And we have, California Racing. We won't get into too much of that with the Los Alamotes renamed Bob Baffert Downs.
Yeah, the Starlets today, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think he wins that like 10 out of the last 10 years. I think he puts like trains five horses in a race of six, and there's only six in the race.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right for California. Art Sherman has one. Oh, no, sorry, wrong race. Art Sherman retiring, the trainer of California Chrome.
It happens. That's a great, great storyline and great history for him, and well-deserved retirement. A lot of people well-deserved retirement. A lot of people would vote for that.
I need to correct you. Baffert does not have five of the six runners in the Starlet. He only has three. Come on, Bill.
Oh, I'm slipping.
It's a bad year for him.
Yeah, he'll load up once the lawyers come through and clear him for the Derby 2022 and ruin my Tis a Bomb Nick Hahn tribute 25-1 Kentucky Derby future wager.
Well, because Nick and Tis the Bomb are close friends, right?
They share an oat bag at Colonial Downs.
All right, let's talk Aqueduct here. Let's start with the Cigar Mile, grade one, 1 mile, 750 large, older horses. It's a one-turn mile at the Big A. What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, the history of this race goes way back, and obviously Cigar, the Maryland-bred horse, Dynamo, the race is named after. It's a very nice setup here for Olympiad, a lightly raced horse against the West Coast Invader. What was his name? Jim Billy.
Oh, boy.
Second out of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and won the Pat O'Brien lately. So and then you have Independence Hall. Might go off as a favorite. Probably will go off as a favorite unless people bet on the Giants too much last week. So. American Revolution.
If they do, they deserve everything they get.
Yeah, betting on the Giants and Jets is not too lucrative up there, so they better stick to the pony. They better stick to Aqueduct. American Revolution there should be the favorite. You got the old chiseled old veteran that Code of Honor.
Yep. That one 5 year old.
That one's has as much class as Frank Vespi Jr. has in his past.
Which is to say not much, huh?
No, and plethora of your resume is 1-9 better than mine.
I don't know.
But I don't value resumes much. So I value Independence Hall and Pipeline and Plainsman and a very good race here. Olympiad's 10-1, and that's a William Mott horse, so might have another 10-1 shooting at you today for a big upset in the Cigar Mile. I mean, he's a 2-year-old. He finished ran well at Saratoga and is just given a year off. That was the interesting part. The other thing was jockey was Rosario was on this horse, but he got hurt. So I think Irad Ortiz is on there unless he gets suspended for riding a horse into
almost
the rail.
Killing a guy yesterday.
If he doesn't get days off, then Derby Bill's in the bodybuilding contest.
Yeah, no, that
just
was
insane what he did. What he did on a horse deserves a couple suspension for a couple weeks at least.
Yeah, no,
and maybe a butt kicking by the other jockey in the jockey's quarters, like they used to settle it in the old days.
Yeah, I think both those things are probably in order. That was very bad. I like Olympiad a little bit in this spot. Mott is ice cold at the moment, but as you said, this is a lightly raced horse, and he's a cautious horseman. He doesn't put horses in spots if he doesn't think they can handle them. And this horse only raced 4 times, won an A other than last time. I think he's an interesting play here, and Ginobili are the two that to me are interesting. Because I feel like these others, they've sort of proven who they are. And who they are is fine, but it's not great. And I feel like Ginobili, Olympiad are the two that, still could be any kind. I guess you could make that argument for a couple others, but I don't know that Following C wants a mile. He has not appeared to want a mile so far in his career. And American Revolution, he's pretty good, but I don't know. I feel like you got to discount the Empire Classic that he won at 2-5 a little bit.
Yeah, this is a $10 horse winner to me and very intriguing to the gambling world with a winner that should pay over $10. Obviously, with they have a pick six carryover of 729 large there today, so there's a lot more interest in the big A than normal, from the national standpoint here. They have the 4 stakes races, but they also have a huge pick six players that are playing along these 4 stakes races, because you're not going to play just the pick six if you're watching a track. You're not just going to bet the pick six at that track if you studied all 6 of them races, including the 4 stakes, because you have the but this one's very juicy. This one, anytime you get a $10 winner on top, and you can get a William Mott horse at 10-1. This one sort of lights up the Christmas lights for me.
All right, let's turn back a page here to the Grade 2 Demoiselle 2-year-old fillies going a mile and an eighth. This will be as far as these young ladies have ever gone. What you got, Bill?
That is quite a test. So you usually go with 2-year-olds. I go to pedigree and go back to, you almost have to, because there's a limited exposure on the racetrack still amongst some of these, even though it's late in the year. You have Nest, which is bred by the great Curlin. So Nest can go, a mile and an eighth. Nest, that filly can run forever and ever for Pletcher, and Irad Ortiz Jr.'s up unless he gets suspended. And Cape the Faith here, another closer. So this is like almost a turf race to me with two-year-olds, and that's all. That's lucrative and dangerous. You know, it's lucrative, and like you said, they haven't gone this far. Most of these horses in the race have not pushed themselves a mile and an eighth yet. Misinterpret, the one horse has, but did not do well pushing herself that far. So you see some great, you know, you see some value horses that are pushing themselves that get devalued, and then you see some horses that, you know, did well at seven furlongs and stretching out, that stretch out well. But basically that's because of pedigree, I think. Tappet, you got the Tappet horse, Tap the Faith. You know, some of these horses are, you know, bred for shorter distances, and some of them are for long. You got a Super Saver, you got a Street Sense, so you know that, you know, most of them, I think, can get the distance. You know, and then you have the Dolphin bred horse, Nostalgic, which I got some interest in. Ran one at Belmont going away. I mean, looked like he was going to a hockey game. You know, the new hockey arena for a concert or something. I think they played basketball there last night. St. John's and who did they play? Kansas played there last night at Belmont
really?
Park. The arena at Belmont Park had their first NCAA college basketball game last night.
Well, how about that?
Yeah. It's you can, you know, it turned into a complex there. This one won by like eight lengths with Jose Ortiz up, and he's back up for that trainer that we knows where to put him, William Mott. So Nostalgic 6-1 would be my, you know, him and Nest. So I'm going to use both of them in a, you know, Christmas exacta box or even a Christmas New Year trifecta extension.
Yeah, I'm scarily enough, mm-hmm. Bill, I'm with you again. I like Nostalgic a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Of course, as you said, some of these really are bred, like Nest is by Curlin out of an AP Indy mm-hmm. mare. That's just distance influences all over the place. Same thing here with Nostalgic. She's by Medaglia d'Oro out of a Tappet mare, so should be plenty of distance influences there. And a thing I like is this horse won at first asking, as Ness did, going a mile and a 16th. So hasn't gone a mile and an eighth, but, you know, coming right out of the – it's not easy to get a horse to win going a mile and a 16th at first asking, and that this horse was able to do it and do it easily, to me that speaks very well of her. So and the price we like, 6-1 on Nostalgic, 2-1 on Nest. Go ahead.
It's a 2-year-old race, and none of these horses have ran at Aqueduct yet, and that is quite a variant for them compared to Belmont and the noise of Aqueduct getting to them. You know, it's not the crowd noise; it's the overhead planes and the trains, and it's just a city situation for 2-year-olds to deal with. So, you know, you're gonna need to calm them down before they go out in the demoiselle. But yeah, I'm with you here. So we're definitely drinking from the same eggnog today.
Yeah, let's hope it's good eggnog. All right. So spinning back another race, the Grade Two Remsen for 2-year-olds. Also a mile and an eighth. This one is the boys. And the big favorite here is Mo Donegal for Todd Pletcher, an Uncle Mo cult, who won last out at second asking going a mile and a 16th. What do you think?
Yeah, the key to this race is it's a road to the Derby race, which means points to the Kentucky Derby and no Baffert horses. That's what it means to me right now. The road to the Derby points. And as you said, Mo Donegal, or however you pronounce that, should be, unlike the last race, prohibitive favorite here. Uncle Mo's 2-year-old just blasted him, Belmont, and I just absolutely run away with it. Looked like a potential Kentucky Derby horse to me. Mo Donegal, big win at Belmont. And McDonagall's is 37-1 in the Derby future pool. It went off in the first fuel pool at 37-1, which is the best, you know, in this race. There's another one in this race, Zaydon. Zaydon, if I can scroll down just 1 second there. I got
It's the Oak seven Lawn horse. Yeah, Zambit.
Yeah, I got Oak Lawn and Aqueduct Twisted like a bad exacta in my PP. So 56-1 in the Kentucky Derby future for Chad Brown. You know, the thing, Chad Brown in New York is like gold. I mean, this one ran at Belmont and ran hats out after a horrible start. Just slammed into the gate and still won the race. I mean, like two-year-olds do. I mean, that's, you know, masterful ride by Joel Rosario, and they won't ride him today, obviously, because he's hurt, but not sure who's on him. I didn't see that. But very formidable opposition there from Zaydan. So those two are much, seem like they're, you know, it's hard to find a two-year-old race where you can find two favorites and use them. Usually, you know, it's usually wide open. You have a Colonial Downs horse and a Laurel Park horse in this race. Mr. Jefferson, appropriately for Virginia, you know, racing in Virginia. Everything's Jefferson, Jefferson, Jefferson. won a race at Colonial Downs. Broke his maiden here. Yeah, he broke his maiden here. Then he went up and won one at Laurel for Mr., the greatest name in horse racing trainership, Trombetta. Greatest degenerate name. For us degenerates, you know, we dig for whatever we can. And anybody with a name Bet, with a name that has Bet in it, you know, gets thumbs up from me. Kendrick Carmouche takes over the reins from Sanchez, obviously, using the New York. Carmouche has been riding pretty well. So that might be a long shot you want to look for. Larry Johnson's horse here. It'd be a long shot. 20-1 morning line might be pushing 40-1, but you know, we've seen I saw a horse that ran at Colonial Downs, went 84-1, won a race at Colonial Downs and won again yesterday somewhere, and I can't think of the horse to the top of my head. Female jockey on it, but things happen. So Mr. Jefferson, I'm giving you a little bit of love behind the two powerhouses, Zaydan and I'm sure. Go ahead, you got one?
No, I was going to say, I mean, Mr. Jefferson's going to have his running shoes on, but one thing that is in his favor is he has won going two turns already. He won going a mile on a 16th at Laurel, which is a two-turn race. So that part of it, at least, should not be a problem for him. You know, whereas like Zandon, who was certainly bred to like the distance, but his only win was at 6 furlongs, so he's got something to prove in that regard.
Oh yeah, it's not quite as bred as Mo Donegal, which you know, Uncle Mo bred here, to, you know, can probably run a mile or two. So, you know, it's tough for these 2-year-olds. It's a 2-year-old type day here. They run, everybody's running their 2-year-olds everywhere, and you know, to get one in before they turn the magical.
I guess I wondered a little point. Bit, what do you think about Judge Davis for Shug McGahee? The source one broke his maiden going a mile on the 16th at Belmont and ran okay, not great, but okay in the Nashua, cutting back to a mile. Now gets added ground again. He's a son of Distorted Humor, 5-1 morning line with Jose Ortiz.
I've seen Chug win a lot of races lately, and not going to count him out at 5-1 for sure. In a, you know, Road to the Derby pointed race, he ran at Saratoga and Belmont, and you know, fared won a race. Where did he win that day? In the mud at Belmont. You know, my only question mark was, you know, was his mud race was better than his other two races. So, you know, I was yeah, can't pick them all, unfortunately. And as a judge follower, he's not gonna be on my people's court trifecta.
All right, fair enough. All right, that's the what is that? That's the Remsen.
That's the Remsen, the Road to the Derby Remsen, won by a Catholic boy, you know, honor code, court vision. I mean, just tremendous history in that race too.
Wow, look at you pulling out the Remsen history, Bill.
It's that time of year, man. Just a lot of things in your head this time of year. Expansion.
is it your brain that expands? What's expanding here?
The stomach at Thanksgiving and the brain at Christmas. Okay. You have no choice. The families demand that. It's an American tradition. I mean, you know, this is a time of year where you're guilty if you don't buy.
Fair enough. All right. That gets us. Let's spin back one more to the grade three gopher wand for Phillies and Mares going a one turn mile at the Big A. And the big favorite here is Lady Rocket for Brad Cox. What do you think?
Yeah, the Rocket's been a rocket. I mean, three out of the last four races, he's got her picture taken at Belmont. I think it was Charlestown. She even raced at Charlestown? Or maybe
yeah,
not.
Won the pink ribbon.
Picture taken in the picturesque mountain track, Charlestown. I visited Blue Pass there this week.
Did you?
And I was surprised they ran on Wednesday nights. I used to go when it was Wednesday matinee. They ran on Wednesday afternoon. It was tremendous. You have a nice lunch buffet and, you know, afternoon and great.
What brought
atmosphere.
You to the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia?
Family responsibilities.
Oh.
Had to ride a lawnmower. Had to ride on a riding lawnmower, which is, you know, tremendous amount of work for Derbyville.
I understand. It's grueling. I get it.
They do have a DRF at the 7-Eleven, though. Thank God. Thank heaven.
Oh, thank heaven.
That's it. But getting back to your race, the Gopher won. The Lady Rocket, just a monster here. If you're singling a horse in a pick three or that lucrative, you know, $1 million pick six at Aqueduct today with the carryover, Brad Cox's horse is just dynamite here. Bella Vista is the other one. Well, Bella Vita, sorry. Vita La Mocha. The songs go through my head there. Joe Rosario won't be riding again, but a Bayern horse here and won his last stakes race out of Del Mar and shipping clean across country for trainer Simon Calhoun and get the owner, Kaleem Shah.
Virginia guy, isn't he?
Baron Fame runs a business in Northern Virginia. Nick would be all over this if I didn't use this horse. Kaleem Shah had, you know, Baron years ago, 4 years ago, on top of the world with that horse. And this is his daughter, Bella Vita. And obviously did well in California. It's picked up, $350,000 in lifetime earnings at a 4-year-old. So that's paying some Christmas bills. This one will for you. So that one's dangerous at 5-1. But, you know, if you're singling Lady Rocket in the other features, then you might want to bet it, you know, Lady Rocket over Bella Vista or maybe the Frank Bestie Bomb in this race. Do you have a bomb?
I really don't. I think Sharp Star is a little interesting, but I can't really tell you that 7-2 is a bomb. I'm not all that enthralled with the couple of long shots here, so I am not going to make a case for a long shot in this race.
Gotcha. So we'll just play a heavy straight, what do you call it, stone cold trifecta with Lady Rocket leading the parade. We'll put it in them terms today, being as the Xmas parades are going on around the country today.
There you go. Sharp Star, by the way, trained by Horacio De Paz, is the defending champion in this event. Won it last year by a neck, and enters off a nice win. Won the Empire Distaff against State Breds, but she won easily at long odds. She'd been kind of running some off-color races, but won nicely last time, and Jose Ortiz in the irons. So I think she's a little interesting looks to be getting back to her better form, and her better form would compete here, it seems to me. And 7-2.
Winning, Santa Vespi's at it. Winning big at long odds. Santa Vespi.
7-2, not long odds, but
it wasn't
worth a look anyway.
Yeah, I thought you had a bomb for me.
Nah, no bomb there. Bill, have you put together a pick six ticket? Have you looked at the two prior races to put it all together or not yet?
Yeah, not a huge pick six player, obviously, because the conglomerations and the $1,000 get-together group tickets usually win those type bets. But I will throw a couple shillings on it, but not much. You know, my not counting on... I don't think I've had pick four is about as stretched as I go as far as really legitimately taking a stab at it, because a pick six is a pipe dream to me.
Okay, fair enough. So no pick
You're gonna have to beat the corporate world and the computer geek ology that throws together $10,000 tickets and covers the all button and only picks one or two races. So you're going to have to beat those type of people. Yeah.
No, it's hard, no question. And the first two races particularly they're both maiden races on the turf. So you're gonna have your work cut out for you there. I think they're both for two-year-olds, too. So you got big field, a lot of stuff going on.
That would probably force me to watch college football if that happens, those two races.
Is Elon in the playoffs this year?
Nah, a little short. They came up overweight, I believe. Didn't use enough Lasix.
That happens sometimes. All right, so that's Aqueduct. We got our picks for the big races there. Four graded stakes. Did you handicap the Starlet, Bill?
The Starlet is
Los Alamitos, the Bob Babbitt.
No, All
right.
I got twisted when I saw the picture of the corned beef at Oaklawn. So it twisted me towards Oaklawn's couple of steak races there. So,
all right, let's take a look at Oaklawn then. What do we have at Oaklawn? We got the Mistletoe.
Yeah, don't be throwing that on top of my head.
I'm going to leave that to your wife, Bill.
Old-fashioned stuff there at the track, too, man. I used to try to pull that off at the track with some of these on-air personalities that you've seen. Yeah, that are very, very, very fine to look at. We'll put it.
I assume you mean that they used to try to pull it off on you.
They would bet each other. You know, I was 4-1 if they could get me to fall under the mistletoe.
I understand. All right. So
unfortunately,
who are you liking
the mistletoe? They found me more towards the concession stand was the tip sheet there.
I just don't even know what to do. Who do you like in the mistletoe?
This is a great betting race. Frank, mile and a 16th, the mistletoe, 150,000 fillies, three-year-olds.
Ten of them.
Still have, going to turn four, so they got to win it now. But there's a whole, the favorite might be $12 horse go off as, by the time this one comes out, you have Pallant Drew on Amendment 19 in this race. You have one of my favorite names I would have came up with when I was 24, Willful Woman, number two, great name there for Steve, Hall of Fame Steve Ashmussen, 9-2.
I like that horse, too.
Oh, 9-2 morning line. Ran up at Pimlico in the Black Eye Susie. I think you might have had him in your 13-1 in that race.
Ran second, too. Ran really good.
Ran against Army Wife, and you're not going to beat Army Wife with a Willful Woman. That could be quite a cat fight. That could be quite the fight there. That was quite an exacta there, Army Wife and Willful Woman at Pimlico.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did bet that race, I'm sure, because it was Army Wife was involved. I'm betting it just because out of respect. Marion Francis. Yeah, you got respect is. Need more of it in the country. Marion Francis, the Constitution, little filly there, isn't bad either. Right up in the one hole there, coming out of a nice win at Keeneland there. That one's well seasoned, we'll put it that way. Well seasoned for a 3-year-old. Brad Cox is, he knows how to roll them, where and when to roll these horses. He ran this one at Indiana. He ran it at Churchill. I mean, this one's been around. I mean, Keeneland, Philly, well, PARX, sorry, Philly Park, to me.
Sure.
Yeah. Olivia of the Deserts in this one, the 5-horse, which has, just run against a class, just way, and, taking a little bit of a class relief here finally. I mean, this one's run, like 20 straight stakes races as a 3-year-old. I mean, it's amazing. And, that one's got a chance of getting into money, but at 3-1, the favorite in the race is absolutely insane to me, even though it's Ken McPeak and, trained, and has ran against much better.
I don't like that horse as a favorite even a little bit.
You don't?
Do not.
Yeah, we agree again, man. Pour me another glass of eggnog. Man, this
scary,
is unprecedented. Unprecedented. We got Saki or Suki, the 6-horse here, 10-1, has a chance off a nice allowance score, which, stepping up here. But, I mean, this race is a great betting race. We got some good betting races today. Good day to fill up those stockings above the fireplace.
Yeah, no question about it. And the first horse I think you mentioned, one of the first horses you mentioned was Willful Woman. I think she's pretty interesting here with second in the Black Eyed Susan. Then off for 6 months, comes back, runs third in an allowance. Nothing wrong with that, first time out of the box. Makes her second start here for the Hall of Famer, Asmus. And although Ramon Vasquez in the Irons, is Santana hurt?
Don't know for sure.
Okay.
Not seen.
Come on,
that,
Bill,
sorry,
I count on you to know everything.
Usually I'm when Nick's blabbering on, I usually check the changes, but today I can't do that.
Well, wherever he is, he's not here today. So that part we know. So
that's what I mean. I usually have time to check changes when he's, moseying around.
Talking about a horse that he has shared note bag with.
Oh, yeah. His various journeys around the horse racing industry. Amendment 19 in that race, too. We wouldn't already mention that one, though. That one's another Constitution 3-year-old.
It was third in the Remington Park Oaks.
Constitution's really starting to be good pedigree.
Yep.
Bred in Maryland. Hey, Maryland bred for you.
That's Angie Moore. Angie Moore's she and her daughter bred Nick's Go.
You can't go wrong there.
So
you get
they're having a
can't
little bit of
wrong.
Success. Yeah.
Can't go wrong with Nick's Go.
Nope.
Little pun slid it down to you, past you, as I'm squandering towards the claiming crown at Gulfstream Park, today also, for some more betting opportunities. I mean, a claiming crown just means big payouts, normally.
So should we turn to the claiming crown?
Claiming crown? You can if you wish. I only did a few of them, but so far.
Okay.
But, just did.
Which ones did you do?
The stakes races, usually. The Staff Dash is race 4. That starts off the stakes card as far as, most of the claiming crown has what? It's
a whole mess of races in it.
Oh, nine claiming crown races and with stakes mixed in there. It's just a nice card down there. And on that, interesting this year because it's on the Topeka, the new surface there. So they're intertwining the new surface down there. So we'll see if the great William Dickinson Dickerson. Sarpis. Cool. Can,
Michael Dickinson, you mean?
Michael. Yeah, I'm sorry. Michael Dickinson. Got him mixed in with trainers' names. And the DeHaas himself has Topeka rising everywhere.
Yeah, no, he's having a moment, that's for sure. No question.
No, anything that's softer on the feet is good for people horse size and Derbyville size.
Yeah.
Well, I might put some Topeka in the front yard here soon.
I think you should, maybe in your living room, too.
Mm-hmm. That would go well. That would go well. That could be used as several purposes. The Distass Dash is race four down there. So that was the one that had like 14 horses in the field and then 20 horses trying to get in the field. That's what happens on claiming ground day. Just horses galore trying to get in these races.
Big purses for claiming horses.
Oh, yeah. It's a dream day for a picture taken down there. This one's 5 furlongs and it's on the grass. Another reason why I'm enjoying the claiming ground. Got some grass racing mixed in down there at Tampa and Gulfstream this time of year. Beantown Baby is 10 races, 10 paychecks. I mean, can you go wrong that way? 6 wins, two seconds, and 2/3. I mean, 10 for 10 in the money on the green. Just can't knock that horse. Armand Delacour, the trainer here, bred by Artie Sheeler. You know, that's a turf monster pedigree. So, and I'm going with Beantown Baby, the 6 horse. I don't have his odds in front of me. There's another horse I like. 6-1. There you go.
Yeah.
I know you like $15 horses. Yeah. And there's another one, number 13, if he gets in the race, Animosoli. I'm not sure if that one's 6. That one's even longer.
8. That's 8-1.
8-1.
Anonymously. Yep. For Mike Maker.
6-1 and 8-1. 6-1 and 8-1 bang out $100 exacta. If my Elon math skills are still functioning, it's about $100 exacta. And Giaponte breeding there, 5-year-old. We know him locally too. Giaponte, just a turf monster.
Did he win the Virginia Derby?
Virginia Derby champion, yes, he did. I think Nick ate from that oat bag, too. He was all over Giaponte because they covered the bar tab. That was the story behind that. Being as he's not here, they covered Nick's bar tab, so he fell in love with Giaponte.
Well, I can't blame him for that.
No, bribery was big in my day, earlier.
Yeah, sure.
My earlier days.
Yeah.
It's still going on, unfortunately. And fortunately for whoever's involved. But 8-1 and 6-1 there for you. And not 13 and the 6. 13
like
and 6. Well bred turf sprinters.
I like
you
it.
You looked
like
at that
it.
Race at all?
I really have not, but
yeah.
I can't argue even a little bit with Beantown Baby's record. You know, 9 starts at the distance, 6 wins, 2 seconds, and 1/3. It's been in the money. 10 straight. I mean, there's nothing not to like. And since they claimed this horse, he just hasn't done a thing wrong, or she just hasn't done a thing wrong. And, and Michael Sanchez, who I talked about a little earlier, is down in Florida and has the mount. So
just a dream type horse for the blue collar world of claiming horses.
Yep.
Yeah, just a nice 6-1 price there too. Race 6 is a Tierra, was the next one I looked at, and that was for fillies and mares going a long ways, 1 1/16 on the side. Got the favorite probably be Whimsical Muse, Mike Maker, but it's still going to pay $9. And there's 4 horses in this race that pay. They're all so even, I can't separate any of them, so I'm not going to try to. I'm going to do one of them 4-horse, exacta wheels behind Whimsical Muse and wheel them. You put the 3 horses on top and Whimsical in second in a wheel, and then Whimsical on top in a wheel with 3 horses to confuse your listeners.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think you're trying to figure that one out.
I'm like drawing a diagram here. I got lines going in every direction.
I have to tie it to TV shows and call it the Wheel of Fortune. You know, when I wheel things, wheel horse races.
Whimsical Muse just ran second in a starter in Kentucky Downs. Has been in good form. I am particularly partial only because I like the name to Starship Malamar, having had a soft spot in my heart for Malamars, the chocolate and marshmallow cookies.
No, this time of year, how can you go wrong with that Starship and the chocolate and the marshmallows and the festival spirit? What's his odds?
12.
12 to 1?
12 to 1 for Starship Malamar.
Ooh, that's some real good
cookies. She may
not
be good enough, but just on the name alone, you know, hunch play.
Yeah, the hunch plays work, you know. They work a lot, especially when you don't have a program or a PPs and you're at a track.
Exactly. So you're gonna key Whimsical Muse with whom?
Yeah, the Oxbow horse is Whimsical Muse, and I do not have Gulfstream in front of me, so I can't tell you the three ahead. They're 3 to 1, 7 to 2, and 4 to 1, so it wasn't big odds.
Okay.
I'm looking for a $20 exacta, you know, payoff. So you're much better going on a cookie hunt with Frank Bespy's horse.
All right. Any other races out of the Claiming Crown you want to talk about?
What was the other one? The other one was the Jewel. Obviously, you have to finish it off with the Jewel Race 10 because I like her music.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's a reference.
I don't think it's called after. The name's raced after her, but I'm putting in a request for Gulfstream Park to have her there, you know, for this race next year.
Belinda Stronach will be all in on that.
No, that works for me. Concerts were a big thing at Gulfstream Park in its heyday.
9 furlongs, the Jewel, for
125K.
That have started for a claiming price of $35,000 or less. Who do you got here?
Yeah, it's 125K, so it's probably the biggest payoff of the day, you know, money-wise in the Claiming Crowns. And you got,
yeah, it's a nice purse.
10 going for it, you know, I went with Sappy Jessup's horse, I believe. Gear Lamo's Attack. Because the guy that's in charge of audiovisual department is named Guillermo. So this is Gear Lamo's Attack. So
sorry, the guy in charge of what audiovisual department?
At Gulfstream Park, the guy that puts a signal out for Gulfstream Park is named Guillermo.
So and, you're going to go with the horse name for Girolamo.
This is my tribute, sideways tribute to him.
You know, not everybody gives Edgar, sideways tributes.
No, Edgar Saez is up. You know, I'd much rather have the sideways tribute from Chantal Sutherland at Gulfstream, but Edgar will have to do today.
All right. This horse has won 2 in a row for Sappy Jessup Jr., owner of the greatest man bun in horse racing.
Yes, he's the Jimenez of golf. Remember the Jimenez, the golfer that wears the older gentleman champion tour with the. He has a hair bun and smokes a cigar during the tournament. Classy.
Nice. Yeah. Look at this. Old Hanalei's Houdini is in down here.
There you go.
This is a Maryland bred by Jersey Town. This is a horse that I believe Hammy Smith had. And then Claudio, Kieran McGee, Ricky Silliman, then Michelle Lovell. And then now Mike Maker has this is a pretty nice old 5-year-old gelding who's earned $260,000.
You had me at Ham Smith. And Mr. Smith can fill a cup for him for you, betting on his horses.
He's a mystery, Hammy. Like, if you could figure out when to get his horses, like Jose Corrales, if you could figure out when they're going to run big, you could make a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. There's no half a cup of beer when you win with Hammy. It's a full cup.
Yep.
But a nice, intriguing race for you to look at for your Maryland bred. And if you have time today, Gulfstream's Claim and Crown is pretty full of reindeer.
Yeah. No, should be a fun day. All big races at Aqueduct, Claiming Crown at Gulfstream, the Mistletoe at Oaklawn, the Bob Baffert Invitational at Los Alamitos. Got a lot of things going on in the horse racing world today. Bill, any last thoughts here as we reach the end? We've been Nickless all day. I don't know where Nick is. Have not heard from Nick. Nick is probably watching his son play basketball somewhere.
Well, I've been Nicholas-less for years. I used to drive with the Golden Bear Golf Club, so you know I'm used to being Nicholas-less.
Oh, yeah. Any last thoughts, Bill?
No, I'm going to twist the candy canes and get ready and maybe even flip on football for that big game today, too, in between races. So it's a squeeze play this time of year. In Alabama playing
Georgia, is that today?
Yeah, that's today.
Okay.
Got to watch a little bit of that. There's some horse racing fans there.
Yeah, sure. All right, well, that's going to do it then here on Off to the Races. Derby Bill, thank you.
Yes, and the holiday spirit is definitely abode.
Do you have a tree yet?
Oh, yeah, tree's up. There's even a gift underneath for myself, but there's a gift underneath.
When does my gift go underneath?
Today at Gulfstream Park, if you hit that 12-1.
Fair enough. All right, Derby Bill, thanks for coming on this morning. I hope you cash some tickets today.
Oh yes. If not, we'll be back. I fear.
I think we're going to try to do one more of these in 2021, and then we're going to call it a season.
No, okay, and then we'll get rip-roaring back when the lawyers, guns, and money are done with the Kentucky Derby Trail updates and fire you back up next year.
Yep, we're just about to complete our agreement with the radio station to be back in 22, so everything... all systems go, as they say.
That's it. Well, good luck today, and fill some presents with some exact and trifecta money.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you. That was Derby Bill Watson. Thanks to him. Thanks to everybody, all two of you who listen. We appreciate the appreciate the support, and that's going to do it here for us to the races. So we're going to play our music right out. Tune in next week for the final edition of 2021 Off to the Races. Keep up with racing and breeding all week long on Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. My name's Frank Vespi. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everybody.